Good morning. Our reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God to be something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, that every tongue would acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Thanks, Sarah. Keep your Bibles open to the very well-known passage. And we're going to spend a bit of time in Philippians 2 over the next couple of weeks as we lead up to Christmas. As we do that, let me pray and we'll have a look at this great passage. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the great promise that you speak to us through it. And so, Father, as we do turn our attention to this, to Christmas, and to remind us again of the reasons that Jesus came to save us from our sins, but Lord, that he came to reveal more and more of who you are, to reveal your character and nature, and to reveal what it means to be part of your kingdom, what it means to live in relationship with you. And so, Father, as we begin this series, as we reflect on the Lord Jesus and the reasons why you sent him to save us and many other reasons, we'll delight again afresh in the Lord Jesus and our faith and trust in him. And so, Father, that you'll shape and mold us to be more like him, and that we'll display the Lord Jesus, not just in signs and in lights, but in the very lives that we live as we lead up to Christmas. And so, Father, be with us this morning as we consider your word, and pray as we hear your voice, we will not harden our hearts, but respond in obedience and faith. And pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in a year where the word unprecedented was used to describe everything and anything to do with COVID, it was also used for the increase in the purchase of Bibles. We saw an unprecedented increase in Bibles, in the purchase of Bibles. There was an unprecedented turnaround of interest in Christianity, which sadly had been in decline for many years. For Jesus still remains a person of interest, especially in times of crisis. We know that Jesus is known as a good man. After all, he was concerned for the poor and he associated with outcasts. He told us to love enemies and turn the other cheek. That all sounds good, doesn't it? And I'm sure as we approach Christmas, Jesus will get a little bit more attention this year as people look forward to a time of joy and happiness, as I said, after a very difficult year. Seeing Jesus, we see the epitome of love and goodness, don't we? But as one writer put it, most people, though, have a Christmas card version of Jesus. It's all rather sanitized and safe. The Christmas card Jesus only ever says nice things that makes us feel good about ourselves. And I think that's why most people are happy to embrace Christmas in the way that they do. But the real Jesus that we meet in the Gospels is not quite so tame. Much of what he said about his uniqueness, about sexuality, about judgment, cuts right across the grain of our culture and demands a response that people too easily reject. Yet at the heart of Christianity and the mark of a Christian is not if Jesus makes me feel good about myself, but that Jesus transforms us to be more like himself, to be more Christ-like. Hence why people stick with the safe Christmas Jesus or the baby in a manger Jesus, but he can't or won't impact our lives. But that's not what Paul says here in Philippians 2. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset or have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, to be more like Jesus. And that's the call on the followers of Jesus, not the Christmas card Jesus, the one who gave up his life for us. As I said, Jesus was born to save, and we see that actually in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, if, I think the if can actually mean since we are united with Christ, and since we have the comfort of his love, and since we're sharing in his spirit, you know, they are all indications of salvation. Yet there is so much more that Jesus came to do. As I said, Jesus was born to set an example. Now, we are used to looking at others as an example. You know, our sports people are put up as role models and examples to follow and emulate. I was listening to something this week. It was about Michael Jordan said that after the Be Like Mike campaign that everyone wanted to be like Michael Jordan, he would never offer himself up as a role model again. I see, he couldn't handle the pressure, for he realized that he was a flawed human being. And no matter how good Jordan was or was, our own flaws failed us, even if we were like Mike. Yet there is an example of one who we are called to follow, to be like, and that is Jesus. Now, if Jesus had just come to set an example, then the message of Jesus would be bad news, worse than Mike, for his example would only condemn us. For Jesus is perfect without sin, and we are not because of our sin. And so none of us could ever live up to his standards. So how can Jesus be an example for us to follow? See, friends, we can only have the same attitude as Jesus, to be like him, because he saves us first and changes us and gives us a new heart. The old has gone, the new has come, so that we can stand acceptable before him. Now, there is much more to say about Jesus, but there isn't less to say. He is our example. So in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And that's what we're going to be looking at in our series. And today, particularly, Paul picks up that example of Christ in verses 3-4. What does it look like? If you've got your Bibles, follow with me. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, and not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. See, this is a description of Jesus' life and the life that should characterize our church community and our individual lives as followers of Jesus. Think about how Jesus did these things. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Well, Jesus left the glory of heaven to share our pain, where no one recognized his status as the Son of God. He wasn't trying to climb a social or corporate ladder. Jesus wasn't seeking a place of honor, even though he was God in the flesh. No, his path was in the opposite direction. His ambition drove him down to earth. Paul goes on, in humility, value others about yourself. You know, the attitude of Jesus was epitomized in the moment when a group of mothers brought their children to him. You know, his disciples tried to send him away. As far as they were concerned, Jesus was far too important to hang out with little children. But that's not how Jesus saw it. He was indignant when he saw what was happening, as we read in Mark 10. So he was happy to spend time with children, those people that his culture thought had little value. In humility, value others above yourself. And thirdly, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Friends, this is why Jesus was born, because he put our interests before his own. And this is why Jesus was crucified. He was willing to bear the judgment we deserve so that we might be forgiven, redeemed, and set free. See, our interest before his own interests. Jesus was always putting others first. Now, you may not have to die for your family or friends today. Well, not at least literally. But there may be moments when you need to die to self. As Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. What this means is your status and interests, like Jesus, are quietly executed as you put others first. Now, why should we do that? Well, Paul tells us to have the same attitude of Christ Jesus, but Paul gives us a reason in verse 2, the prospect of making our joy complete. So what gives Paul joy? It's shared joy. That's the goal of his ministry, as we read in chapter 1. And that's very countercultural today, isn't it? In our self-absorbed, self-interest world that seeks our own happiness, our own joy, even if it's at the expense of others. Now, what Paul says here is that putting others first leads to joy. It's the joy of being like Jesus. You know, his life is so attractive and good that we're glad when we sense that in our small way we're becoming like him. And this is the real joy we can experience at Christmas. You know, my heart was filled with joy this week when I saw a few women in our church change venue because of a concern for one of them meeting inside a cafe for coffee. That's putting the interests of others first. And you only get that complete joy and shared joy when you're investing in the lives of other people. As I said, when you're looking to their interests and not your own. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And so what is this mindset of Jesus? What drives his interests of others first? Well, have a look at verse 6. It says, who, Jesus, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Other person-centeredness starts with an attitude of humility. Jesus shows us the ultimate act of humility through his death for us. As we've seen, he gave up all his rights, honor, and status for us. And so Jesus came into this world knowing full well that he would end with a humiliating and dishonoring death. Jesus would not die peacefully in his sleep. Rather, he would suffer the worst of all deaths and dreaded torture, death of crucifixion. And Jesus submitted to having the sins of all who would believe him laid upon him, for he who knew no sin became sin for his people. Even this was great humility. From being Lord, he became a servant. But Paul says he went further than this, because while he was not only immortal, but the Lord of life and death, he nevertheless became obedient to his Father. As I said, to endure that humiliating, extreme death. The greatest example of putting the interests of others first flows from the ultimate understanding of humility. No one ever humbled themselves more than the Lord Jesus. No one ever started so high and no one descended so low. And so on this basis, Paul exhorts every believer to be like Christ and lower themselves into humility before God and others. Friends, when we sit in the shadow of the cross, we learn that nothing is beneath us in terms of service. You know, we have been served by Christ in this glorious way. He laid down his life for us. And so we need to walk in humility, which at its core is what it means to follow Jesus. Always good to throw in a little bit of Calvin. He puts it this way: in every good thing in the Christian life grows in the soil of humility, faith, obedience, worship, and course of love. So what is humility? So true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. So the tendency is to be preoccupied with ourselves. And I think that's a sure sign of pride, which expresses itself in a fixation on ourselves. And I think this selfishness is expressed in terms of worry and gossip and slander and lying, being afraid of what others think of you, being a workaholic, and I think that relentless clinging to our rights. And haven't we seen so much of that this year? You know, it's my right not to wear a mask, or it's my right to break the restrictions. You know, COVID is after all just a hoax. Well, it's not for those who have suffered or died, or for those who have lost loved ones because of COVID. You know, masks and restrictions are for our good, but importantly, they are for the good of others. But it's only the good for others if we're willing to not put our interests first and give up our rights for the least or the vulnerable among us. That's what Jesus calls us to do, to look out for the least and the vulnerable. And all that flows from a humble heart. And so Paul is encouraging us to live lives of humility, by throwing away that broken compass that always leads us inward to the den of self. So what do I do? Humility, I think, is that honest assessing ourselves in light of God's holiness and our sinfulness. I think that's the twin reality that all genuine humility is rooted in. Understanding God's holiness and our sinfulness. Without an honest awareness of both, these realities of self-evaluation will be skewed and will fail to either understand or practice true humility. The attitude of Jesus sets for us to shape our lives together, to serve one another. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who served us, was obedient, that flows from humility. So I just want to share three examples in light of God's holiness that will give a sense of what humility is embodied by Jesus. And I think there's three challenges for self-evaluation that will lead us to pray that God will work in us the humility we need so that we would freely serve each other and be more like Jesus. First, humility is glad that God gets all the credit for choosing us, so that we boast only in him and not man. I love Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 8 it says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. See, humility agrees and is glad that God acts towards us first. He chose us. He reaches into our sinful, condemned lives and brings us alive in Jesus, who died for our sins, because we can't save ourselves. And that's how dependent we are on God. And so it takes the focus of all boasting away from us and puts it rightly on himself. And so are you glad God does it that way? Humility is glad that God gets all the glory. Secondly, humility admits that everything we have is a free gift from God, so that we can't boast in it. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4 that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Everything we have is a free gift of God. And that this serves the root of boasting in our distinctiveness. Severs the root of boasting in our distinctiveness. You know, whatever talents, whatever intelligence, whatever skills or gifts, or possessions, influence we have, put away all sense of pride because it's a gift. And in that, you can also put away all sense of despair because all of it is a gift from God. And he knows how to give gifts to those who love him. Thirdly, humility gives itself away in serving everyone rather than seeking to be served. And as I said, that's what we've seen so far in verses 3-4. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. In Mark 10, it says this, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. Humility measures everything it does by whether it serves the good of other people. Am I feeding my ego or am I feeding the faith of others? Humility serves. And for this, as Paul says, will make joy complete. Let me just finish with three challenges to seeking the mindset of Jesus. Three questions for you. In what area are you most likely to struggle with humility? Where do you tend to judge other people the most? In what ways are you overly self-focused, either with pride or insecurity, self-promotion, or self-righteousness? They're difficult questions of self-examination that this passage really drives us to if we're to have the same mindset as Christ. Are you willing to listen to biblical instruction and correction? Are there any areas in your life where you insist on going your own way and are unwilling to walk in humble obedience to the Lord? So let me ask, what in your life is competing with obedience to God? Or stopping using the free gifts he's given you to serve and encourage and build each other up in maturity of faith among us here. And finally, just from Philippians 2, verse 3, encourages, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Is there someone in your life you need to actively consider more important than yourself? How can you seek to humbly show preference to that person over your own desires or wants? See, the point here is without humility, we won't serve, or we'll serve for the wrong reason. It seems almost impossible to overstate how pervasive are the effects of humility in our lives. See, we must make whatever sacrifice is necessary for the good of others. And given the example of Jesus. None of us can ever humble ourselves too much. None of us will ever surpass the humility of Christ has demonstrated. And so we're called to seek to have the same mindset, the same attitude of Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. And as we come up to Christmas, will people see that we have the attitude of Christ? But also remember God's great promise to us, that he is the one who works in us through his word and by his spirit in us to change our hearts and minds to be more like Christ. So we need to keep submitting to God's work in us so that we may walk humbly before him, so that we may grow in humility that puts the interests of others first. Jesus was born to set us an example. As I said, we're going to, in this series, be looking at the Jesus born to. And I think it will be a real challenge as we come up to Christmas, is that are we living as followers of Jesus? And today, do we have the same mindset? Are we living lives of humility that we see so powerfully and wonderfully and extraordinarily in Jesus coming in the flesh? Let me pray. Father God, out of your great love and mercy for us, you sent the Lord Jesus to save us. And Lord Jesus, in humility, you offered up your life for us. You saved us, and in through your death and in victory, you give us a new life, a new hope. And Lord Jesus, I pray as we reflect on all of who you are and all that you've done for us, as we sit in the shadow of your cross, as we walk in the victory of your resurrection, Lord Jesus, help us to have the same mindset, the same attitude of yours, that put the interests of others first, that we may walk humbly before you and each other. And may we truly reflect lives of your followers as we lead up to Christmas. And so this Christmas, as we do gather, as we pray, we gather face to face, as we invite strangers or friends, that they will see Christ in us and not just hear about you. So, Father, this morning, write your truth on our hearts by your Spirit and transform us, and that we help us to respond in obedience to faith and faith to what we've heard this morning. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.